But God was showing me something that as I embrace those challenges, as I turn into them, as I face them, then, you know, He is always available. He said, I will never leave you. So that sense of deflation, that sense that you haven't got it in you to do with what comes against you, is a lie from the enemy. Amen. So it's so great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How many were here last Sunday? Amen. Wow, it's great. How many enjoyed Pastor Chris's message last Sunday at the 9 a.m.? You know, I loved that so much. I loved, you know, sort of both services, but really, that was just really ministered to me, and that was just a rock. Can we just give God praise for that and just thank Him again for that word? You know, I just remember the example that He used, because He was speaking about, the discipline of the inner man and what all that means. And he had Benji at the front. Where's Doogie today? Yeah, there he is. Benji, like, I can see him cringing. I can just see the cringe expression on his face as he was demonstrating that plank position. And you know, I saw things that I didn't even know about the planks. I thought I know the plank. Yeah, that's it. And he was like, you know, okay. Just he tapped him and said, you know, just get those arms straight. Actually, twist your hands out. I didn't even know my hands could move in that direction. Your hands out, and then you know, and then he tapped him. The core said, okay, abs engaged. I thought, wow, okay, this is getting really technical now. And then onto your toes, right? Okay, that's a full lock and stretch. And I thought, you know, that was I can do. I think he must have been there for about maybe 2 minutes or so. And Ben said, how long is this, you know, going to last? And I thought, you know what? 2 minutes can be a long time when you're going through that. You know, in the wilderness, you know, Bible scholars tell us that what was actually a 40-day journey took the Israelites 40 years going through the wilderness. But you know, there is a purpose, or there is a reason, better put it that way, there's a reason that it took them 40 years as opposed to 40 days in the wilderness. No, there's a reason that it took them so long. And you know, God, as we look back at that story, it's easy in hindsight to be able to say, okay, we can look at the geography of the area, and it should have just taken them 40 days and stuff, and they would have been done. But there was a purpose as to why God took them through the wilderness in the route that He did, and why they spent 40 years doing it. You know, often in Scripture, God describes the Israelites, He described them as a stiff-necked and stubborn people. Amen? Anyone like that in the house today? Stiff-necked? Someone's pointing to his wife. She's... stiff-necked and stubborn people. He described them as rebellious. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know any teenagers? Just, you know, they're just rebels with a cause. Rebels with a cause. He described them as disobedient. No. Sit down now. No. No. He described them as disobedient children. He described them as grumbling and complaining. Do you know anyone like that? Always grumbling and complaining. In fact, God was fed up with them, just wanted to, you know, wipe them out so many times. And Moses, you know, that great, meek and gentle intercessor, always stood in the gap for them and prayed for them and said, God, no, please don't destroy them. But I want us to look first scripture for today. Is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the 11th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11. And can I have it in the New Living Translation, please? It says, shall we read this together? Now these things happened to them as examples for us. I'll just pause there for a minute. Think about that statement. These things happened to them as examples for who? For us. These things happened to them as examples for us. Let's read the second phrase there. It says, they were written down to warn us who live at the time of the end of the age. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Can we see it in the Amplified version, please? What's the Amplified as well? So I want us to squeeze out all the depth of meaning, all the juice. That's right, Pastor Paul. It says, now these things befell them by way of a figure as an example and warning to us. They were written to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction. We in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation and concluding end. Wow. So these things happened to them as examples for us. You know, God is very, I like to put it, God is very dramatic. He teaches us stuff in some really colorful ways. But you know what? The Bible said the scripture is a mirror. The Bible says when we look in the word of God, it's like a man looking at his own face in the mirror. So when we say they're stubborn and stiff-necked, guess who else is stubborn and stiff-necked? Guess who else is rebellious? Guess who else is disobedient? You're looking at him. You see that man in the mirror, Michael Jackson says, isn't that man? It's you. That's you. That's us God's speaking to. That we're the stiff-necked and stubborn ones. We're the ones who've been disobedient to God. We're the ones who've been rebellious. Because it's a matter of the heart. You see, there was something in them that they never fully could really shake off. Can you give me Numbers chapter 14, please? And just another statement that God makes about the Israelites in the wilderness. And this is stark. He says, surely, let's verse 29 first, please. It says, the carcasses, this is God, I said God is dramatic. It says, the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. Verse 30. And then it says, except. Everyone say except. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore would make you dwell in. You know, that was two out of, how many left? About 2 million. Benji, can you work out the percentage that is? 2 out of 2 million. That's like sort of one and about six zeros on the end. 0.1111. Two. Wow. You know, the Bible says that with some of them, God wasn't really best pleased. I'll say. He wasn't pleased, says with some of them. Another translation says with most of them. I think that's slightly more accurate. That God wasn't really pleased with most of them. But remember this, we're looking at a mirror reflection because this is an example. God made an example of them for us, for you and for me. That's God's example. Hold it up right there. I want to tell you a short story because, you know, like I said, last Sunday's message just impacted me so much and I just thought, wow. You know, it was about, as Chris was doing that demonstration, as Ben was doing that demonstration, God was speaking to us about the lessons, about the training, about the disciplines that we go through in our wilderness experience. That's, you know, going through the lockdown and everything else associated with it. You know, some people are sailing through, if you like. Some people are grumbling, complaining. There's all sorts, you know, there's all sorts of conspiracies. It doesn't really need to be as long as it is. There's all sorts flying around out there. And I went to work on Tuesday. So just give a little story. So I'm, in general, been working from home for the most part. And then Tuesday actually went in to work. But came back, and my daughter Deborah was at the sort of dinner table just finishing off her homework, as she does. And then she got up just as I was sort of fiddling, pottering about, and she read something out loud. And it was something, it was a post that she had received from one of her YouTuber friends, you know, online. You know, this is the tech age now and stuff, you know, so stuff that we never did in our day, but hey, no, this is good stuff. But as soon as she read it, my ears pricked up. And I've put it in the slide, and so in the box, do we have my slide number one? So there's three of them. And really, they're not so much statements, but questions. And here's number one. It says, what excited me today? I thought, wow, okay. What excited me today? Number two. What drained you of energy? I want you to have your thinking caps on as we go through these questions. So number one is, what excited me today? Number two, what drained me of energy? What, you know, what took the wind out of my sail today? And number three, what did I learn as a result? And I thought, wow, that'll preach. Yeah, those are some pretty important and powerful questions. What excited me today? So just in this whole atmosphere of the lockdown and stuff, what excited me today? What drained me of energy? And number three, what did I learn? And as she read those things out, you know, I thought, wow. I said, well done, Deborah. Who sent that? She said, oh, it's one of my YouTuber friends. I thought, okay. Said, can you sort of put that questions up, put them into some slides for me? So can we give a little round of applause for Deborah today? Yeah, she did good. She's helped Daddy preach. But, you know, I began to rehearse that in my own mind. I thought, wow, what excited me today? I just come out from work. And I thought, you know what? Here I go. So going to work on Tuesday morning, I was actually excited because we've been working from home. You know, sometimes just getting out of the house can be exciting. When you're locked down, you got your mask on at work and all that stuff, you know, just to get out and get some fresh air, that's exciting. But you know what? What was really exciting was that I was going in for a specific task. So I was going to set up a new computer for a customer. It was something that I knew what I was doing. I knew what I needed to do. I knew exactly where it was. I knew what I was going to install. I knew how to install it, the software. I knew the customer's line of service, as we say, the build, all of the sort of techie detail and stuff. And I was, yep, okay. So I've got a job to do. I'm going to be in and out. And I'd said to my wife the evening before that, you know, I'm going into work tomorrow, but I think I should actually be home by lunchtime because, you know, I know what I'm doing. I've got this to do, that and the other. So, yep, no problem. I should be in and out. So I was excited and pumped up to go. So what excited me today? Yep, I was excited to go to work today. How many people are excited to go to work? I was going to say, don't put your hand up. Okay. Now, what drains me of energy? You know, so no sooner had I been in there than another call, as we describe them, a ticket, came into the technical queue, you know, the sort of queue of work that we have for the day scheduled for our office. So another call came in to basically, we need to build another computer for someone else. Now, that sort of deflated me because that wasn't in the plan. The plan was to be in and out. I knew what I was going to do. By lunchtime, I should be out again and stuff. So that kind of, you know, so my first reaction, not the same, but the first reaction was like, I thought it was going to be a short day. I thought I was going to be home for lunch. I thought I was going to be in and out. But not so. And then what did I learn? You know, so God's been teaching me something over a period of time now, over some weeks, months, years even, if I'm honest. And just saying that, you know, when challenges, when different challenges come from left field, as, you know, as Pastor Joe often says, when you're running and the ball just comes from left field and knocks you in the head, something like unexpected, you learn to embrace the challenge. You learn to turn in. You know, I had another speaker put it this way, that you turn into the problem, not run away from it, but turn in and embrace it. And you know, that's not always a comfortable experience. Yep. So when you're outside of your comfort zone and something that you know to do and stuff, you know, it can be challenging, it can be difficult to embrace that. But you know, but that day, but so as that came in, you know, my colleague called me and said, oh, by the way, Temi, something else has come in. And as you're in the office today, can you do it? Can you deal with it? So there was no sort of like sneaking in and out under the radar. Oh, I didn't see it. You know, oh, was there another call? Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, crikey, someone else will have to come in and do it. No, but you're in today. Can you do it? Can you deal with that? And so I had to turn it and to face it. I know what the interesting thing was, that actually second call or ticket that came in, I actually finished that before even the first one that I knew to do. The way things are, but God was showing me something that as I embraced those challenges, as I turned in towards them, as I faced them, then, you know, He is always available. He said, I will never leave you. So that sense of deflation, that sense that you haven't got it in you to deal with what comes against you, is a lie from the enemy. So what did I learn today? I learned to embrace challenge. I learned to face, to live with the discomfort of that situation. And I learned that, you know what? The Lord is with me. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? That stuff has to leave, has to go. So what did I learn? I learned loads. Just a tiny thing, but so much learning going on. And it's interesting. So, story continues. 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. Knock, knock. I open the door. I'm still like, I'm barely sort of changed out of my kit and stuff. I've been in, I've washed my hands, I've sanitized. There's a knock on the door and I go to the door. And there's a young man there. He said, oh, I just popped by just to give this back. Can you give this to Mary when she comes home? I said, yep, sure I can. And I looked at him and he looked like he'd just come from work himself. This is in the evening and he looked like he was actually drained already. I could just tell from his face, his posture, his body language. And so I said to him, so how was your day? And immediately, he started to say to me what drained him. Question one was like, you know, he wasn't excited about nothing. It was like, you know, what drained me today? I hadn't asked him, but in not so many words, he began to tell me what drained him today. And he said, you know what? He just finished a 4-hour rounds trip. So 2 hours to work, 2 hours back again and stuff because it was some fire up he had to go. So while I was at work, I actually accidentally drove over a manhole and got a flat tire, exactly. And then it took ages for them to get repairs and stuff and all of that. And I said, you know what? You look like you need some rest. So go home, get some rest. Tomorrow's another day. And off he went. 10 minutes later, I hear a key going in the door. No, this time it's Mary coming home from work. Mary comes in. She washes up, sanitizes. No, we're all doing this, aren't we? Comes in. And man says, phew. True words. I'm not making this up. She says, some people, honestly, some people, they're just energy drainers. I look at Deborah. Deborah looks at me and we burst out laughing. She says, some people, they're just energy drainers. So I goes, oh, my love, gosh, what's up? Why did you say that? And she says, oh, and she begins to tell me about this experience she's had at work today, about how one of her clients, how they've just had all these sort of problems and challenges, and they've complained, nobody's listening to me, nobody's helping me. And she says, okay, let's just pause this. And she just goes through one by one, step by step. Okay, so you need this and that. Okay, we can fix that. And she works through it. And she works on her on the phone and goes through all the issues one by one by one, one after the other, to resolve them. And she's feeling now pretty good. Okay, so that's it now. We've pretty much fixed things, haven't we? Expecting the person to just affirm and confirm, yes, we have. And the person says, no. No one's listening. Just sing the same mantra all again. No one's listening to me. No one's helping me. I think I'm just thinking like, what? We've just gone through all of your issues one by one, fixed them and solved them. And this is your answer. And she's like, just wants to put the phone down and stuff. I said, so what did you do? She says, well, she kind of just summarized everything that they had done and then put the phone down. But, you know, these things, all these different areas, three key things, what drained you of energy today? And I said to her, I said, you know what? God felt the same way with the Israelites in the wilderness. He'd reached them and ministered to them water out of a rock. We're hungry, manna, this, that, the other. The pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. God met their needs in every which way, supernaturally. Yet they continue to complain bitterly about stuff. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the 5th verse. You know, I think that's the greatest lesson that the Israelites learned, or that God wanted the Israelites to learn in the desert, was the lesson of obedience. Everyone say obedience. Obedience. It was the lesson of obedience. It says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. But it's that lesson of obedience that God wanted them to learn. No, but because obedience is something of the heart, it was a real struggle for them to ever really get a handle on that. Because as we'll see, as Joshua came to the end of his life, we'll see that actually it wasn't long before the Israelites slipped back again. Can we see Judges chapter 2? And verse 7. And this is just a summary of their journey through the wilderness. So in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 7, it says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of their elders who outlived Joshua, who had been who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Verse 8. And now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. Way to go, Josh. Okay. And they buried him within the borders of his inheritance at Timnath, Timnath-Heres, okay, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. Okay. And then if we skip down to verse number 10, it says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And then, okay, verse 11. It says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Wow. These were the Israelites that the Lord had done so much for, and they provoked the Lord to anger. And so in spite of everything the Lord had done, they still became disobedient. You see, obedience, this is what the Lord said, obedience is a choice. Amen? I said obedience is a choice. But it's a heart choice. It's a heart choice. We choose to obey. You know, Adam and Eve had a choice. Right that at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. They had a choice to choose to eat the fruit, not to eat the fruit, to obey God or to disobey God. Love is a choice. Amen? You have a choice to love. See, love is not infatuation. I love you, baby. The walrus of love. It's a choice. It's a choice. Love is a choice. Marriage is a choice. It's a covenant as well. So we have choices to make this side of heaven. Give me Isaiah chapter 1 and the 19th verse, please. And this is God again speaking to the children of Israel, because as we've seen, they've made choices again and they've fallen into sin. Again, they've done evil. And this is a scripture that I love. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, So we have a choice. So not just willing, but willing and obedient. It's really key. It's a real key thing for all of us. You know, another scripture that I love is in Hebrews chapter 5 and the 8th verse. You see, this obedience thing is key. And speaking about Jesus, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, the All-Powerful, he learned obedience. Wow. How about that? So if Jesus had to learn obedience, what about you and me? What do you think, guys? Do you think we need to learn obedience? Do you think obedience can be learned? Yes, we can. We teach our kids to obey. We have to learn obedience because it's from the heart and it's a decision. And so when Benji came out and did the plank and his discipler was saying, you know, engage the abs, engage your core, go onto your toes, lock your arms, etc. What was that? That was his training. He was learning obedience. Was it pleasurable? Was it painful? Yeah. A lot of the times, it's painful. A lot of the time, it's stuff that we need to go through. Sometimes we want to go around it, want to go under it, want to go over it, any which way. But the way forward is right through the middle. See, my place of work and business and stuff, I had to just embrace what came along. There was no two ways about it. Right through the middle. Jesus learned obedience. If you back up to verse 7 of that same verse, so Hebrews 5 and verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Speaking about Jesus, with loud cries and tears to God. And by that he was heard. He was God's son. God heard him. I've got a question for you. Listen up. Did God hear Jesus when he cried out to him? Yeah. And it says, so he was able to save him from death, that he was heard. Okay. Did God save him from death? Did God save him from death, the rest of you? No. But he did hear him. Why? Why didn't God save him? Huh? He had to. Why? Why? Why did he have to go through it? To save mankind. Okay, thank you, Alex. Top of the class today. You're too brownie. Come and see me later for that fiver. So even though Jesus cried with loud cries and tears, the pain of it, God heard him. It says God heard him. But still, he had to go through it. What do we have to go through? What do we need to learn to get into our promised land? What do we need to learn to push, to press into the promise? Can I have somebody on the keyboard, please? What do we need to learn to press into the promise? To really get the fulfillment of what God's calling us to. You see, it's so important for us to learn the lesson of obedience. You know, Jesus said this, not my will, but what? But yours be done. You know, when I said it's a choice, obedience is a choice. He had a choice, actually. But he made that choice. He made the choice to obey the Father. He made the choice to submit his will to the Father's will. You know, God's saying that to each one of us today, to submit our wills to the Father, to make the choice, to bite the bullet, to do what pleases him. See, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, searching for those whose hearts are perfect towards him. He's looking for them. God's looking for you, for your heart. He's looking for you to make the commitment. He's looking for you to make the sacrifice. He's looking for you to make the right choice. He's looking for you to make the choice that glorifies him. I want to challenge us today. And say, you know, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart like the Israelites did in the wilderness. If we make the right choice, if we make the decision not to harden our hearts to be soft and supple and responsive to the Holy Spirit. You know, the Israelites didn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. This is a new generation. The Bible says, we are the climax of the age. We are the climax of the age. And God is looking at you and is looking at me. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. But you know, God is looking at us to be obedient to him. He's looking to bring many sons. He's looking to bring many daughters to glory, to that place that I call rich fulfillment. And if we are willing, if we are obedient in 2021, we're going to eat the good of the land. We're going to press into, and we're going to lay hold of the blessing. We're going to lay hold of the thing for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word that brings light and understanding to the simple. Father, today we place ourselves as simple under your word. Father, your word says that if we are willing, if we are obedient, then we shall eat the good of the land. Father, today we make a quality decision. We say that we are willing, Father. We choose to obey. We choose, Lord, to obey your word, Father, in whatever area of our lives it might be, Father, whether in the area of family, whether in the area of business, whether in the area of any relationship, Lord, that we are in, Father, to be willing and to be obedient, Heavenly Father, that you may be glorified in us. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you all the praise. We give you all of the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And his people said, amen.